This morning, title of the message, Not Ashamed of the Gospel. We're looking at first chapter of Romans chapter 1. And I want to ask you a question. Are you ashamed of the Gospel? Here in this passage this morning, we'll find a man who is not ashamed of the Gospel. And as we look into that scripture, we'll be able to get a little insight into why he was so interested in sharing it. And I think the same thing that motivated him should motivate us today. Because if we look at some of the things that were going on, we'll find out that the same things that were going on then are going on now. Maybe, if anything, to a greater magnitude now than then. We find here Paul's writing this letter to the church at Rome. He's writing to believers, to Christians. But as you read on toward the end of the chapter, you see that there were certainly a lot of people who were not believers. They were not Christians. And so you see that there was indeed a great need to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to their neighbors. And so we see the things that were happening in Paul's day. It's like reading the daily news. It's like reading about things that are happening today, the same things that we're seeing happen around us every day. And so we should be reminded of the desperate need to share the gospel. When we look around and see what's going on around us every day, we should really be anxious to be able to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with others. That is, if we're genuine ourselves, because if we're genuine ourselves, then we love other people. And if we love the people, we don't want to see any of them go to hell. We want to see every one of them saved. We want to see them blessed. We want to see them prepared to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. And if they don't receive the gospel before they leave this world, many of them are not going to They're not going to experience heaven. Most of them are going to experience hell. So we need to be about the Father's business, and part of that is to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, that's the great commandment, the great commission, we call it. It's found in the last couple verses in Matthew's gospel, chapter 28, verse 18. Beginning verse 18, Jesus came and spake to them, saying, All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So that's the gospel. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be going and teaching everyone we see. Teaching them by example. By the example that we live. Living the Christ-like life before them. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And so there's a great urgency and a great need today for us to be sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a great need for that to be done as Paul did, and by example, not just in word, you know, not just telling someone how much you love the Lord when you know that they're a believer, you know, just trying to impress somebody by telling them that you know Christ, but by genuinely knowing and loving Him and having a desire to see others come to know Him. So, as we look here in this first chapter of of Romans, this letter that Paul is writing, he's writing to the Christians there at Rome, and he mentions the subject of the gospel. Jesus Christ is the subject of the gospel. That's where the gospel is. And so in the first several verses there, he mentions about Jesus Christ. He says that Jesus was God's only begotten Son, made of the seed of David, according to the flesh there. Verse 3. We read the first six verses there. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. You remember Paul's conversion experience on the road to Damascus. When he was saved, he was going about persecuting Christians. There was a change that took place in his life. Rather than persecuting Christians, he began to try to make Christians, to try to introduce people to Jesus Christ after his conversion. And that's a change that takes place in our life. There's a change that takes place when we genuinely accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and allow Him to become Lord of our life. Too many times we see people making professions of faith in Jesus Christ, but then the lifestyle never changes. They continue to do the same things that they did before. They're no more faithful to God and to His work than they were before. The only difference is now they have their name on somebody's church roll somewhere, which is maybe worth, I don't know, whatever that page of paper's worth. That's about all it's worth, because not worth anything when it concerns your salvation. Because if there's not been a change that takes place, then there's not been an experience called salvation. When we're saved, there's a change that takes place. Bible talks about that quite a bit. Things I once loved, I now hate. Things I once hated, I now love. You know, it talks about becoming a new creation, a new person. You're not the same person anymore. You don't do the same things. You don't go to the same places. You don't use the same language. You don't. You're just not the same. And there's a change. And so Paul had experienced that change. He was called to be an apostle, separated the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. And so here he mentions that Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, was made the seed of David according to the flesh. There he mentioned that in verse 3. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That's Jesus Christ. That's the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. And so we know that Jesus is God's only begotten Son. He was born of that virgin, the Virgin Mary. But he's God's only begotten Son. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, the Bible says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because your sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. When we trust Jesus to become our Savior, allow Him to become Lord of our lives, we become sons of God, daughters of God, heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. There's a change in relationship that takes place. Now we're serving Him. We're not serving Satan anymore. Before we were serving Satan, and now we serve Christ. You can't serve two masters. It's either one or the other. And so when we come to know Christ, when we accept Christ as our Savior, then we become servants of His. No longer are we servants of Satan. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. Jesus, God's only begotten Son, was beaten, falsely accused, ridiculed, hanged on a cross, where He gave His life to pay for our sin, a debt that He did not owe, but He paid on our behalf, a debt that we owed that we could not pay, but He paid it on our behalf. He was buried in a barred tomb, but 3 days later, He came out of that grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave, demonstrating God's power over death, hell, and the grave through His Son, Jesus Christ, and revealing to us the power of God there. And so we see here that Paul mentions the subject of our salvation. That subject is Jesus Christ. It's through Him and through Him alone that we're saved. There's no other way. There's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. It's Jesus Christ. He's the only way. He said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So He's the only way. That's the only way that we can be saved. And so Paul introduces there, and he tells us who the subject of the gospel is, and then he commends those who are faithful followers of Christ. He commends those. He thanks them for following Christ. And today I thank you, those of you who are followers of Christ, those who serve Him faithfully. I appreciate you. I thank you, and I thank God for you daily. I pray for you. And Paul reminded these there in the first part of this chapter. He said, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. He had a desire to come to them, to share the good news with them, to encourage them, to hopefully see some more people saved. And that's our desire. That's my desire today, is I don't get anything out of just coming up here and preaching three times a week, going wherever I have opportunity to share the gospel, just to be seen and heard. My motive and my goal is that someone will accept and receive the gospel and accept Christ as their Savior and allow Him to come Lord of their lives. That's what it's about. That's what Paul's desire was. And Paul had a desire to be able to share the gospel with those, and so that they could get some benefit, because if someone receives the gospel, then they certainly get the benefit. Salvation, not from me, but from God, that God blesses them with that, and they're blessed of that. But I also get a benefit, because I get the blessing of knowing that I was able to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And someone that was headed for hell has changed directions, and they're on the way to heaven because God has allowed me to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with them. And so Paul's desire was to go there. He had a desire to go and to preach to them, and to encourage them, and to be encouraged by them. So I'm here to encourage you, but it's not all about me encouraging you. I'm encouraged by those of you who are faithful, and I'm thankful for those of you who are faithful and who are faithful to pray for me, to encourage me. There are times when we all need encouragement from time to time. There are times when the devil beats us down, beats on us, and just it's negative every direction we turn. You know, everybody don't love us because we're Christians. There are some people who really try to make it hard. Satan works through some people and faithfully, and some people are faithful to Satan, and they will certainly allow him to use them to discourage someone who is a believer, who is fighting the fight and sharing the gospel. And so all of us need encouraging from time to time. There's none of us that never needs encouragement. We all need encouragement sometimes. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your position is. I don't care what your relationship with Christ. There are times when you need to be encouraged. There are times when I need to be encouraged. And Paul was looking forward to that opportunity to come to them to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with them to hopefully see some souls saved, and to encourage those believers and to be encouraged by those believers. And so he lets them know that he's ready. Verse number 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. The gospel is good for everyone. Everyone needs to hear it. Everyone needs to respond to it. I don't care who you are. I don't care what race you are. I don't care what your political preferences or your social standing. It don't matter. You know, the good, the bad, the ugly. We're all in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're all in need of a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're all in need of surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, because we're all sinners. We're all sinners by nature and by choice. And so we need to hear the gospel, and we need to share the gospel. Those of us who are believers, we need to be sharing it. You say, well, that's for preachers. Well, that's true. If you're a Christian, you're a preacher. Okay? Well, let me back up a little further. You're a preacher, period. Either you're a preacher for the gospel of Jesus Christ or you're a preacher for Satan. Because your life is preaching to those around you. Your life is teaching others to live the way you live, whether you're living for Satan or living for Christ. And so I encourage you to be a preacher for Jesus Christ. Be one that will encourage people to accept Christ as their Savior, to begin to enjoy the benefits and the blessings that God has to pour out on us, because God has blessings that He wants to pour out on us. And I can't emphasize that enough to you about being faithful to God so that He can bless you like He wants to bless you. You know, it's He don't just pour out His blessings just to be pouring them out. You know, He pours His blessings out on those who are obedient, who are faithful to Him. Just like we as earthly parents, we want to bless our children. But a lot of times, we can't bless them like we'd like to because they've rebelled against us. They're going against us and they won't do anything we've asked them to do. And so we can't bless them like we really want to bless them. The same is true with God. So many times we're rebelling against Him. There's so many people rebelling against Him now. They want His blessings. They rebel. They run the other way and doing their own thing. They don't have time for God until they get in trouble, and then all of a sudden they want God to come to their rescue. They want God to get them out of the mess they've gotten themselves into. They go to calling all the preachers and everybody else, you know, to try to get out of trouble. Because they've rebelled against God. They've not done what He's called them to do. But when they get in trouble, they want Him to, it's kind of like that Santa Claus thing, you know. Want to call Him when He's supposed to always be giving us what we want. Don't matter how we live, we think God is supposed to give us what we want when we want it, where we want it. Very exact time. God don't work like that, okay? God will bless you. God wants to bless you. But God wants you to be faithful to Him as well. And here we see that the day and age that Paul was living and writing this was a tough time. And God's wrath was going to be poured out on a lot of people. God's wrath today is going to be poured out on a lot of people. A lot of people because of rejection. Because they've rejected Him. They've rejected His way. They've rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're doing their own thing, going their own way. And it's not, they're not going to be blessed for it. They're going to suffer God's wrath. You say, well, wait a minute. You know, God's a God of love. You know, that's what we hear about all this, you know, LGBTQ garbage and all that's going on, you know. Well, it's all about love, 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 love. Yes, God is a God of love. No one's ever loved you like God has. No one will ever love you like God has. More than God has, or even close to as much as God has. But God is also a God of wrath. You rebel against God, then there are consequences that you're going to pay. And so we see some of the things that are going on here, beginning in verse 18, where people have rejected God, even though He's revealed Himself so many ways, even through nature. Begin in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest or made known in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. People are without excuse. Even creation reveals that there's a God. There's a Creator that created all these things. And people continue to reject Him even though they can see and they know. But they don't care. He's not important to them. It's amazing to me the mentality of people today and how they just ignore God and God's desires. I was talking to a fellow this week and about salvation, you know. And this particular person has children who need to be being brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And talking to him about what needs to happen and how he needs to be first of all, saved and setting an example for those children and bringing those children up in the earth, nurture and admonition of the Lord. And he said, "Yeah," said Mama said, "we're like those sinning Christians. You know, we go to church on Easter and Christmas. You know, like it's some kind of joke." It's not a joke. Your relationship with Christ is not a joke. It's a matter of life or death. It's a matter of either living in Christ and being blessed of God here and now and spending eternity with Him in heaven, or being spiritually dead, missing out on the blessings of Christ here and now and spending eternity in a place called hell, where you're in torment forever and ever, never, ever able to get out of that torment. It's eternal torment. And so, people are rejecting God. And even though they know better, they're still rejecting Him. They've chosen their fleshly lust over God's will and God's desire. People have gone completely away from God's design for mankind. Start in verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. There's a lot of that going on right now. Adultery. There's more cohabitation now than has ever been in the history of mankind. You know, people just living together. No marriage, just living together. It's getting more and more popular all the time. It's not, you know, there's no shame anymore. You know, these kids bragging, they come to me bragging about their girlfriend's pregnant and all that. You know, I remember a time when not only did you not brag about it, nobody knew about it. You know, girl got pregnant, she usually went on vacation to spend some time with a family member in another state somewhere. You know, it wasn't bragged on. It wasn't something you proud of. But now we've come so where we care less about what God thinks. It's all about us, you know. So there's no shame anymore in what we do, in the lifestyles we live. And then verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Homosexuality. The LGBTQ agenda is all this. This is exactly what's going on there. You know? Women with women. And then men with men, there he talks about. They have left the natural affections. They've left the natural use. God's design. God designed us, male and female, for a reason. Okay? That's the way He made us. And that's the way He designed us to function. That's the way that we are to reproduce and to increase, but it's to be in His plan, and there's a proper way of doing that, and that's within the marriage relationship. Women sleeping with women don't produce babies. Men sleeping with men don't produce babies. Now we got gay men and lesbian women wanting to adopt children, to raise children. If you want to raise children, then do it God's way. Women, marry a man. You can have children. Men, marry a woman. You can have children. That's God's design. That's the way it's designed to be. And that's the only way it's going to work. Now we're filled with all kind of ungodliness. And there, it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, do those things which are convenient, being filled with unrighteousness. Haters of God. When you decide that you can decide from day to day whether you want to be a male or a female that day, that's a pretty good demonstration of hatred to God. That's saying God ain't got no sense. He don't know what He's doing. Didn't know what He's doing when He made you. You know? That's a dangerous place to be. Dangerous place to be. Talks about murders. You know? We're killing our babies. By the thousands. By the millions. We kill our babies. And it's okay. They're continually trying to make that more legal, more legal, more legal. If something hadn't happened to stop some of it pretty quick, you know, if you 8 or 10 year old child made you mad one day, you just kill them. It's okay. You know, it may get legal. Fortunately, we got some that are rebelling against that now and changing some of that. So hopefully we're not going to be killing all of our babies. You know, that is ungodly, to the extreme ungodly. And so, you know, there are just so many things here, and he mentions a list of them. You know, deal with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Ooh, man. You ever seen the time when there's more disobedience to parents? A lot of parents trying to be the child's best friend. You know, that's not the responsibility of the parent. The parents to be the parent, not the best friend. There's so many children that are being disobedient, and a lot of that is attributable to the fact that we've stopped disciplining children. I'm a pretty firm believer if parents will discipline those children, they won't be rebelling against. They won't be quite as disobedient if you bring the discipline back. And discipline is God's law. You know, people use the excuse, well, you know, you can't do that anymore. DCF come take your kids away. Well, God said discipline them. You going to listen to God or you going to listen to DCF? That's your choice. You know, it's just an excuse because discipline's inconvenient. So we use whatever excuse we use. That's just like excuse not to come to church, not to serve God, not to do anything else that we're supposed to do. There's always an excuse. Satan will give you plenty of excuses. They're all the same. They amount to nothing. Disobedience. Unfaithfulness. Okay? And so, the main thing we need to understand is judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. It's coming. And I honestly believe that it's very near. When you read the Bible and you see what the Bible says is going to happen in the last days, and it's happened, what else has got to happen? People better get ready. And so if we believe that, and we're believers, then we need to stop being ashamed of the gospel. We need to, number one, we need to start living it. And number two, we need to start sharing it. Okay. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Your neighbors, your coworkers, your acquaintances, your schoolmates are headed for hell. Many of them. And you have the answer. You have the solution that will keep them from having to spend their eternity in hell. Will you care enough about them to share that with them? And I understand, they're all not going to accept it. I understand that. But once I share that gospel, once I give them the solution, you know, if you're sick, and I bring you some medicine, say, here, if you'll take this medicine, this will make you feel better. I brought it to you. But it's up to you to take it. I can't shove it down your throat. Okay? I shared the gospel with you. But it's up to you what you do with it. You share the gospel with your friends. You share the gospel with those that you come in contact with. You can't make them accept it. But until you share it, that blood's on your hands. once you share it, that blood's on their hands. Okay? I don't want the blood on my hands. Okay? You don't want the blood on your hands. Share it with people and let the choice be up to them. The blood's on their hands then. Okay? Father, we love you. Thank you. God, I thank you for those that were not ashamed of the gospel, who shared the gospel with us. I thank you for those who shared the gospel with me. Lord, who shared it not only in word, but in deed. Lord, by showing me, by living a life before me, a life of faithfulness, a life of faith in God, a life of genuinely trusting God and being faithful to Him. And I thank you for those who have set that example before me, who love me that much. God, help us to love others just that much, enough that we will share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. If there's a need here this morning, God, I pray that you meet that need. Help us, Lord, not to quench the Spirit. God, if you've spoken to someone, if there's a decision that needs to be made, Lord, I pray that they not hold back, but that they will respond according to what you have called them to do. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. Have you accepted the gospel? You know, if you died standing where you are, that you would wake up in the presence of Jesus Christ, spend eternity with Him in heaven. If you've never genuinely repented of your sin and trusted Jesus to be your Savior, you're not going to. But you'll be eternally separated from Him. No one wants that. Maybe there are other decisions that need to be made. God has spoken to your heart. God's encouraging you to do something today. Do it right now. Don't wait. This is your chance to be your last. Are you right? Is everything in your relationship with Christ right?